Good morning.
Good morning.
Just like the music, Jesus loves me and Jesus loves you. Welcome to Jenkins Church this morning. We're glad you could be here. I believe that... do we have any visitors today? We'd love to recognize you if you're here. The attendance register, have they been passed out? If they have, please sign and pass them next to the people in the pew next to you, and also put down that this is the 10:15 worship. Prayer and praise request. Yes, sir. Great-grandma. Okay. Are there others? Yes. Any other announcements that need to be made this time? Okay, as we pause for a moment of silent prayer today, use this time to make yourself available to God and His Word. Lift up in prayer to His throne the concerns which have been spoken. Bow your heads, please.
Brother, should we have the words on display?
call to worship this morning is responsive. It is in your bulletin, if you would, please. My word shall accomplish that which I purpose, says the Lord, and succeed in the things for which I sent it. My sheep hear my voice, says the Lord. I know them, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. If you would, please stand for the next song.
You are my strength when I am weak.
Worshiping Jesus, the living Word. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus, the Christ, the Savior. And thank you, Lord, for sending your written Word, much of it which Jesus spoke. Thank you, Lord, for those who recorded it and those through the years who have preserved it, that we have it before us this day. Lord, let it be upon our hearts as well as within the pages of a book that we call the Bible. Thank you, Lord, for the time to come together to hear your word. Thank you, Lord, for your assurance that it will accomplish that for which you sent it. Speak to us in this hour and allow us to speak before you that your name might be glorified and that we might somehow bring a smile to your face, that you might say of us, well done, good and faithful servants. Keep us faithful, O Lord, not only in this hour, but in life to come. And we offer our prayer in the name of Jesus, now coming praying as he taught us to pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Please remain standing as we put into words that which we believe.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into Hades, and he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Conceals his sins does not prosper, but whoever confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Prayer, confession, this morning is in unison. Please say it along with me. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Our assurance of forgiveness is from Psalms 32, verse 5. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Number 81 in your hymnal, please. I believe now we have some special music this morning.
Children are coming. You notice we want the children to stay through the new song because it's basically a children's song, and they'll just stay up here before they go to children's church.
Is a little bit free time for our children's choir, but we decided not to stop for vacations because we think that, as the Bible says, all of us are priesthood. If we know Jesus and we accepted Him and He lives in us, we are called, all of us are called priests, and we serve every day, every night. The Spirit which is in us is praying. And we are doing these priesthood things all the time, while reading the Bible, or meditating, or singing and worshiping God. So as the real priests, we don't stop. So we didn't take vacations as the Old Testament priests. They never had vacations. They had to live in the temple. So we're a kind of little and big Levites, worshiping God all the time. So our song today is every day of the week. Are we all right? And these are the most faithful kids in our children's choir who rarely miss choir practices, and we're so proud of them and so thankful. So we'll try to sing a song about how we can serve and God and worship Him every day of the week. And Anna Rippy will be our soloist today.
I'll read the Bible and I'll say prayer
And Anna Clemens is actually, she's not, of course, children's choir, but she's our helper. She helps Melanie and me to read the music. And Hannah Wilker, she's not a kid, she's more getting into a teen's age, and she's playing an accompaniment for us sometimes, so she's a helper too. So thank you so much for praying for our children's choir, children's music ministry, and thanks parents for encouraging kids to come and sing with us. God bless you.
Y'all can stay here for children's time. Come forward for children's time, and then. mandatory sentence this morning is from Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." Would our ushers come forward, please?
Oh,
scripture lesson this morning first comes from Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands, so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended him. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Thank all of you for your assistance here from the Anna and Hannah for assisting with the children and the singing, and Savetta for doing that. They've been practicing, and we believe this is a great ministry, and we've been shown that it is this morning with the children. And thank you for children for leading us in our special music today, and all who have worked with them. But for Jim and for Sam and the ushers who received the offering, and the people who make sure the visitors are welcome, it's just this is not a one-person show. You can see that many people are involved in the worship experience, and if you would like to participate in some way, we will certainly give you opportunity. One thing that we could have a reader of the scripture other than the worship leader each Sunday morning, if someone would like to volunteer for that. And we don't call people and ask them yet, but we may get to that point where we'll say, "Would you like to read the scripture this morning or another morning?" Like 8 o'clock service, Sam was not supposed to sing this morning, but the Kim was to be out, so we just called and said, "Sam, you're going to have to sing this Sunday morning." So he did, and sang a beautiful song there, and we appreciate that. His work, Savannah's work, Melanie's work, but all the rest of you who are volunteers. So I'll talk about temptation this morning, or being tempted, and from Matthew chapter 4, verse 1 through 11. Also call your attention, it's printed in your bulletin or your insert, that this is not the only place this temptation story is found. It is also found in Luke chapter 4, 13 verses. So Luke was maybe a little more wordy, or maybe the verses were divided different and a little different arrangement. Mark is a man of few words. One verse talking about Jesus being tempted, led into the desert, and then he was tempted. And so we have 13 verses, 11 verses, and one verse. And some people would really like to be around the man a few words till you wanted a fuller explanation, or till you needed one, and then you might not be able to get it. But maybe Mark said enough about the temptation. But let's look at what Matthew said this morning. The purpose is to help us to know how to deal with temptation. The next question is, Have you ever been tempted? A silly question, but you get the point. It's a worthy question to ask. Have you ever been tempted? And what have you been tempted to do? You probably have never been tempted to do something right. You might have been urged. You might have been moved. But have you ever used the word temptation in regard to doing something good, right, righteous? Most of the time, most all the time, when we are talking about the word temptation, it's to something wrong. Something against God's will. Is that right? Are we kind of on track there on the same page? Matthew 4 is the account of Jesus being tempted. I want to look at this, and then, as you can see from your insert, there's some more suggestions when we are tempted, some helps to help us. First, as we look at what Jesus did, and then look at other scriptures. When did Jesus' temptation come? I've preached this before. You're probably remembering, but someone may be here today that wasn't here then. And then maybe, oh yeah, I remember that now. When did it happen? When did Jesus' temptation, or the one that was recorded, wasn't his only temptation. It wasn't the last time he was tempted. If you want to find one, go to the night he was in the garden, right before his crucifixion. He had some agonizing moments there. With much agony he prayed. I believe that was a temptation experience also. When did it happen? Jesus' temptation came following his baptism. And you can read in Matthew or Luke and find the experience of Jesus' baptism. Back in chapter 3, a high point in his life. There were two or three really high points in his life where God spoke from heaven. A voice from heaven. The baptism was one of them. Matthew 3, verse 17 says, a voice from heaven said, this is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Can you think in your life a time when you felt closer to God than when you were baptized? When you maybe walked to the altar, we call it the altar, but came to the front of the church. It's really not an altar, it's a communion table, but we refer to it as an altar. You come to the front of the church in response to the call of God upon your heart, and you say, here I am, Lord. I am trusting you with my salvation. And he has promised if we come to him, he will cleanse us from our sin if we come believing in Jesus and his death on the cross and his resurrection to new life. And when we come, we're so close to God, and we're so clean, and we're so pure, and we're perfect. Not of our own efforts, but of the efforts of God. And we are so, so righteous right there. Can you think of a time that you felt closer to God? And then we go to God for baptism. We have the mark of God placed on us. Be it immersion, be it sprinkling, we've been set apart as the people of God. But add to that a voice from heaven. Add to that a voice from heaven speaking audibly. This is my child. This is my son. I love him. And I believe that we can believe that that happens in heaven. We just are not tuned in to hear as they were in that first century. And we hear from God, and we say, we hear, I'm well pleased. This is my child. And I believe Jesus, God is just as pleased with us when we trust this Jesus who came, not that he needed to be baptized. He was without sin. He was perfect. But he said it was to fulfill all righteousness.
maybe to set us an example. Part of it. And there he was. The high point, one of the high points of his life. And the next chapter tells about Satan coming to him. Now you would have thought that he was saved. Jesus was always saved. But in this baptism experience, if we are following along, that is when we're closest to God, we're secure. But then it happens. Satan comes to take us away if he can. He thinks he can. Or maybe he knows he can't, but he just wants to try. I don't know all of the implications there of what Satan thought or knew. I don't want to know too much about what he thought, except to just know how to stay one step ahead of it. And that's through faith in Jesus Christ. But it happened that Satan comes to us, possibly after a high spiritual moment, after we have said, we've been with God. And we kind of let our guard down, and there he comes right to pull us away, to convince us that that really wasn't a real experience that we had. It was maybe only a figment of our imagination. So, when it happened, following his baptism, following a high spiritual moment, then we can think that we might be tempted also at a similar time, after a high spiritual moment. He may also choose to come to us when we're at our lowest. But just because we've had a high spiritual experience, a walk with God, don't think that he's going to leave us alone. Who tempted him? It was the devil. That's what he's called in verse 1. The verse 3, though it says temptation, the tempter. Verse 3 says the tempter came. And Mark gives his name, one of his names. He has many names. Satan. The name of the devil. Mark uses the name. And the first account of the temptation did not come with Jesus. Since earliest time, since creation, the tempter, Satan, the serpent, been tempting people to turn from God and follow him. No one to honor God. That rebellious angel that was cast out of heaven. The first account of the temptation was in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. 1 and 2, we have the creation story. And Adam and Eve were placed in this beautiful garden. And then God came and visited with them. And then Satan came and visited with them. And enticed them, called them away from God. Eve was the one that the serpent went to. But it could just as well have been Adam, because she went to Adam and there he said, okay, we'll believe someone else rather than God. And we read, got a good picture of a serpent there, maybe a spread nanner, I think it's spread hatter, that, however you would like to say that, in the Garden of Eden. So it goes back to the beginning of time. Jesus was tempted in three areas of life. One was in his physical body. Verse 3. He was hungry. He had been on a fast, a 40-day fast. After his high experience with God, he went out to commune with God into the desert. And he wanted to be sensitive to God. So he didn't want to be bloated with food and burdened down with food, so he went on a fast. 40 days in the desert. and he was hungry. You ever tried to fast 40 days? You ever tried to fast one day? A half a day? 30 minutes? I tell you, I've been experimenting with fasting. See, there's something good about it. It may be more sensitive to situations that I need to be praying for. Every time I have a hunger pain, if I've committed that to the Lord, not bragging about this, but every time I have a hunger pain, and they come, I'm made aware of that situation that I want God to deal with. So I go back and say, thank you, Lord, for dealing with this situation. And this is something recent in my experience. May hear more about it as time goes on. He was hungry. No food for 40 days. And Satan came to him and in a sense he said, show me what you can do. And there were some, I guess, were they river rocks? I've seen big gravel about like a beautiful little loaf of bread. River gravel. And whatever it was, he looked at the stone and said, show me what you can do. If you're really the Son of God, Satan knew he was. But he was trying to put doubt in Jesus' mouth. But Satan was so stupid to do this. He should have known that he couldn't. But he kept trying. He never gives up coming after God's people. He said, feed your hunger. Meet this need. And if you've been fasting for 40 days, there's a need. Meet this need of your physical body. What did Jesus do? He answered him. He answered him with Scripture. That's a good reason to learn Scripture, so we'll know what to say when Satan comes to us, whether he comes directly to us or comes through someone else. It is written, Jesus said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And he's quoting from Deuteronomy 8. Recently, I heard of a church that wanted to get out of church at 12 o'clock. And they started at 11. I got 1 minute if we get out in exactly an hour. But they started at 11, wanted to get out at 12. The preacher wanted to feed the people, and he felt he was feeding the people the Word of God. And he would have an Old Testament lesson. He would try to get the psalm in some way, maybe through the call to worship, the psalm reading for that Sunday. And he'd have a New Testament lesson, and maybe a gospel lesson from the New Testament and an epistle lesson. So he was feeding them a lot of Scripture. And the people said, we don't like it. We want to get out of church. And they began to say, leave out part of the Scripture. And he says, but I only have 1 hour with you on Sunday morning. That's the only time you'll come to church. I'm trying to feed you more of the Word of God. And as I thought about this, I thought of that situation. These people, and that church is a long way from here, so you won't. Hopefully you won't figure out where it is. If you do, that's okay. But it's not here. Maybe the same situation real with a close church or somebody might come that way here. I wouldn't hope not. But the people were more interested. We don't want to hear too much of the Word. That's what they were saying. Or that's what we see it from the preacher's side. We're trying to feed you the Word of God, and they were saying, we don't want it. We don't want it. Let us out. We got to go eat. Our stomach is growling. Maybe that was a bad illustration, but maybe it wasn't. Anyhow, the second thing that Satan suggested that Jesus give them a thrill. People want thrills even today. Test God, he was saying, but give us a thrill. One church in our area was having a fireworks display in their sanctuary on Sunday morning, on the 4th of July, or the 1st of July. That same church, and I have friends going there,
They left the church and I used to pastor and went over there because of the thrill. I thought we had trained them different than that. Evidently not. But they went over there and they turned pigs loose in the sanctuary, grease pigs, at other times. Now, what that has to do with the gospel, I guess I need to go and see. But Satan tempts us with everything. I'm not accusing, but I just have a trouble understanding that.
We've had a snake or two in here, but a long time ago, don't tell anybody, wasn't on purpose, he slipped in.
But he said, throw yourself down from this high point of the temple. How high it was, somebody figured it out. I think they said something like 400 feet, and maybe I've forgotten, but I didn't think that the height was that important. But said, throw yourself down here. And Satan said, he quoted some scripture himself. He says, the angels will come and bear you up and won't let you hurt yourself on the rocks below. He was quoting from the Psalm. I think it was Psalm 91. You can go check it out. So the devil knew the scripture. He said, put us on a big show. Show me what you can do. Let us see those angels come and bear you up. Let's have an exciting time here, Jesus. And Jesus, I ain't going to do it, Satan.
He says, it is also written, put not the Lord your God to the test. Again, he quoted Deuteronomy. And then he took him to the highest mountain so he could see the whole world or all the kingdoms around there. And he said, if you'll worship me, I'll give all of this to you. See, Satan is a little stupid. Or he thought Jesus was one. Jesus created it all. He was already Jesus's. He made it. He already owned it. And here Satan was coming and said, I own this, and if you'll worship me, I'll give it to you. How stupid could Satan be? But people will follow him. They'll say, okay, I'll take it. Jesus created that, those mountains, all of those kingdoms, placed all of those leaders in leadership there. And he said, I'll give it all to you. Well, Jesus already had it. So Jesus just said to him, away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Again, from Deuteronomy. So what did Jesus do? Jesus resisted him. Basically, he ran him off. Away from me, Satan. Get away. Go away. James wrote later, resist the devil and he will flee from you. But too often people will say, come on in, devil. Let's visit a little bit. I don't want to be mean to you. But Jesus also quoted from Scripture. He said, get away. Then he quoted another verse of Scripture. So he knew at least three. He knew it all. He wrote it. He had given it to Moses. We can never go wrong by reading and learning and even memorizing the Bible. When we are tempted, and let me say, it is not if we are tempted, it is when we are tempted. I still want a motorcycle. And I was over at Carol Simpson's one day, and this friend was there from somewhere, and Carol's a motorcycle rider, and many, many of her friends are, you know. But every once in a while, she'll invite me over, and I get to see crutches, and walking sticks, and broken legs, and people that have trouble walking. And Carol, I don't know how you've gotten by without any bad injury red. It's not if, it's when. And I talked to a guy, he was sitting on the couch and he had to put his leg up on the couch and he said, as we talked, he said, yes, preacher, it is not if you have a wreck if you get one, it will be when you will have one. You're going to have one and going to come up with a broken bone. And most of your friends are like that. Is that right, Carol? 90% of them? Would you say that? Went to a wedding and did a wedding for some of her friends. And I saw more crutches and walking sticks that day than I've ever seen in a gathering. I mean, they are abounding. And I want that motorcycle, but I know better than to get it. I even saw a three-wheeler go down the road the other day. Not a little bitty three-wheeler, but I mean, you know, a big Harley three-wheeler. And I said, you know, maybe I could do that. It wouldn't be when, it'd be if. I hadn't told Carol about that one yet. But anyhow, maybe she would ride behind me on the three-wheeler. Maybe she wouldn't. Who knows? But anyhow. But with Satan, it's not if he's going to tempt you. It's when he's going to do it. He's going to come. So, I got, what, six things? I think it is. I'll run through them quickly. It's when he does it. Jesus resisted him and ran him off and quoted the Word of God. So that's the first thing we'll say. And then, what we do when we're tempted? Follow Jesus' example. Resist him, run him off, and quote him some scripture. He can't stand it. No, he knows it. He don't want to hear you quote it. Then number two, know that we are not alone. God will see us through. The passage that Julie read for the children, God... I'm sorry. I thought I could quote that one right off the top of my head. If you think that you are standing firm, if you think that you've mastered the motorcycle, if you're really okay, if you think that you're standing firm before the devil, be careful that you don't fall. Be careful that you don't let him grab you. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. Or there has no temptation taken you but what is common to man. God will not allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation, provide a way to escape that you may bear it. People have used that to say, God won't put on you more than you can stand. And that short version of that that verse, it's the only place I can find where it says anything close to that. But it doesn't say even God does it. This says God will not allow the devil to put on us or anybody else to put on us that would tempt us, working for the devil. Somebody else may be working for him. God will not allow us to be tempted above that which we are able to bear, but will, with the temptation. We're going to have to live through it, but he will, with that temptation, provide a way to escape the temptation or to resist the temptation, so that we will be able to bear up under or stand firm under the temptation. So we can know 1 Corinthians 10:13, we're starting to be safe. Okay, number three, know who it is and what he will do to us and resist him. And 1 Peter 5:8-9 says that the devil is like a roaring lion. You ever watch the animal channel on the TV? If you got cable, you ever watch the animal channel and watch those lions attack a smaller animal? What do they do to them? Tigers do the same thing. They tear them to bits. They consume them. They devour them. And Peter says, who is writing to Christians who have been dispersed, says the devil is like a roaring lion who will, he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. So we're warned. He will eat us up. Says Peter says, resist him, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm in the faith. That's one reason we do the Apostles' Creed over and over, so we'll know that Jesus died for us and rose again and lives forevermore. Okay? And then the fourth thing, understand the blessings of enduring. In James, in chapter 1, verse 12, says if we hold on, if we resist the devil and hold on, we'll receive a crown of life. We've got a crown promised if we hold on. Number five, know that Jesus has overcome for us. And Jesus is telling the disciples about departure back in 14, and then he talks about staying connected to him in 15, John 15, and then in 16, in 33, he says, I have overcome the world. It encourages us to stand firm in him. And then in number six, it's Philippians chapter 4, 13. Do all things through Christ. Christ is our strength. The Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians that he, in encouraging them to do likewise, he says, I can do all things through Christ. I can do everything through Christ. Through Christ who gives me strength. What will you do the next time you're tempted? Next time temptation comes your way. More important question is Jesus your strength? Is Jesus your strength? Do you have Jesus to help you? Have you trusted Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you invited Jesus into your life to be your Savior and made Him the Lord of your life? We sang it in number 81. What a wonderful Savior. And then it says, He gives me overcoming power. What a wonderful Savior Jesus is. He gives me the power to overcome Satan. He also says, the Scripture says, that He will keep us in perfect peace if our mind is stayed on Him. Turn in your hymnal, if you will, to 404. We're going to sing about Jesus, the solid rock. We're going to proclaim, we who are trusting Jesus are proclaiming that we're standing on a solid rock. And if you have not trusted Jesus, you are not trusting Jesus, this is your invitation to trust Him. And anchor yourself to Him. And He says, nobody can snatch us out of His hand if we'll anchor ourselves to Him. 404. Is it verse 1 and 3? Verse 1 and 3. Temptation comes to entice us away from You. And Lord, knowing that we are secure in You, we don't want to be a bad witness by submitting to a temptation. Thank You, Lord, that You are that solid rock and that You have anchored us unto Yourself, even giving us the faith that we need to believe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.